Welcome to the Grace Story Podcast, where we introduce you to interesting people and their inspiring stories. From Grace professors, current students, and distinguished alumni, to special guests and speakers on our campus, you can meet new people and hear how they are impacting the world around them. This podcast is recorded and produced at Grace College and Seminary, located on the shores of Winona Lake in the great state of Indiana. This is the Grace Story Podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Freddie Cardoza, Vice President and Dean of the Seminary here at Grace College and Seminary. Dr. Cardoza holds a bachelor's in local church ministry from Liberty, MA from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and PhD from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has decades of experience in vocational local church ministry and has been teaching internationally for many years as well. He's a published author. And Dr. Cardoza is passionate about higher education, leadership, and local church ministry. He is married to his wife, Christy, and has two boys. And Dr. Cardoza, welcome back.
Thank you.
To the podcast.
Rock and roll.
We were just talking beforehand that you were the first guest on the Grace Story Podcast 5 years ago in 2019.
Yeah.
You had just started at Grace.
Brand new.
And we're maybe questioning why you had started at Grace in January from California.
True.
Questioning
true.
Some of your life decisions.
True.
But now you've been here for 5 years.
That's right.
And you've survived. So I'm interested to know, what is something you have learned to appreciate about Indiana?
Indiana.
In your 5 years here?
The most important thing about Indiana is the people are down home, they are genuine, 100%.
Hoosier hospitality is a thing.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing. These are genuinely kind and straight talk. You know, I think of the newspaper in Cleveland called The Plain Dealer. You know, that they're plain dealers, you know. And with all due respect, you know, to California, you know, I was in Southern California, people would sometimes say that there's a level, a degree of superficiality that sometimes exists among some people. You probably, you know, there
are.
Can
you caveat that just a bit more?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, well, you know, the Kardashians are there, right? You know, so. But anyway, so I think that that kind of down home, just good humanity, you know, in the heartland it's a great, great thing. I love it.
What is something that you have grown to appreciate about Grace College and Grace Seminary in your first 5 years here?
Yeah. These people are genuinely godly, upright people. You know, I'm in, you know, a role that, you know, you have to make decisions, you have to act, you have to execute, you have to do things, and yet there's been such a patience and a genuine spirit of humility and kindness. It's real. It's real. It's authentic. And it is something that smooths over, you know, just so much. It's a really amazing place to serve. And as far as if you talked about a job to work, it is not an exaggeration.
So 2019, you come to Grace and you know, have accomplished a lot in the 5 years, and your team has accomplished a lot, added a number of team members. Let's talk more on sort of the academic side of the house first, and then I want to talk maybe on the programmatic, some grants, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But on the academic side, what has changed? What is new? What is exciting and in Grace Seminary?
Yeah, so what's changed is we did a thorough overhaul of curriculum. And we also really went to a deep dive on just pedagogy and, you know, the art and science of teaching. You know, that's what we do, right? We teach. So we've got to get better at teaching. We've got to be better educators. We have to be better communicators. We have to be better with technology and all the things, the pieces that are just so far beyond just our knowledge. And, of course, their knowledge, though, has also been enhanced by greater publishing that's gone on, more presentations in academic settings and other things. So that's really enhanced the classroom experiences and so on. but also on the curriculum side, we have just done such a deep work in making sure that our curriculum is white hot, ultra relevant, and we've just gone through it, whether it's an existing program that just needed enhancements. You know, a lot of times in institutions, those are not easy to do, number one. Mm-hmm. You've got assessment going on all this time on top of that, and it takes a lot of paperwork. It takes a lot of moving things through systems. And a lot of people either, you know, a lot of schools try to, you know, if we can do this off the books, let's do this off the books, or let's just sort of make enhancements or tiny adjustments. We've just done deep spring cleaning.
So you've done a lot of just changing curriculum at, you know, courses, reevaluating. Let's go stage by stage. So at the undergraduate level, mm-hmm. What is really new, exciting? What is really working well mm-hmm. at the undergraduate side?
Yeah, so the undergraduate side has really remained steady, and it's been interesting because one of the greatest things that's happened is that though we liked the way it was going before in lots of ways, we've now pulled the entire youth ministry program into the institution where we were using a third party. They're a friendly third party. They're a denominational, you know, entity that we're working with. Now all that's in-house. So now we have fully our own team, and with that has been an adjustment in that curriculum to where as emerging adulthood has sort of developed and people have started looking at human development and adolescent development differently because of lots of changes, but including COVID, but even before that, we began to realize that, you know, there really needs to be also an emphasis on family because mm-hmm. the family's been sort of under attack. So what we have now is, in addition to youth, instead of just maybe like, let's say, a focus on programming, now it's really a full-blown emphasis on family ministry and youth ministry and the development of leadership there. So that's a huge thing. And Brent Mancarelli, who is both the campus pastor, if you please, in that kind of language, the chaplain, but also him taking the leadership of this, I think is a huge win. So that's a great thing. One of the other great things is the fact that we have our blended program. We've, you know, had a adjustment in the sense that we have just worked on developing more student shepherds to help those students because they're under the pressure of doing, if you can imagine this, especially if someone's listening that has an MDiv, they're like, yeah, I remember my MDiv. It took me 7 years, you know. We're now able to do things in a 5-year period to get an undergrad plus divinity degree. That's crazy talk, right? I mean, it's crazy. And yet it doesn't compromise the learning, but it puts all the onus back on the student. And for that reason, we really want to do a lot of work in shepherding them. So one of the things, in addition to having student shepherds, we also, as you know, have essentially every student is involved in a mentoring group. And mm-hmm. I think that the talk about adequate size classes and the talk about students getting to know their professors is not just billboard stuff. This is real. It happens. I mean, they are routinely inside the homes of professors. I'm like, what? I mean, you got to understand, this is not common. This is really not common. So when you're, you know, and I've been to these places and I've had them in my own home, you know, it's crazy. So anyway, all those have given Grace College the humanity, the grounding, the mentoring, the presence that they need around mature professors and believers that are deeply committed to Christ. I mean, it's a winning combination.
And that's great to have on the undergraduate level. I have two blended mm-hmm. students who work mm-hmm. in my office. One's graduating this year mm-hmm. after 5 years with both his bachelor's and his MDiv. One has 1 year left mm-hmm. and ministry opportunities abound for them because they are well prepared. They've been mentored life on life with professors, and mm-hmm. there's the trust and gravitas of Grace Seminary and its mm-hmm. history mm-hmm. That these students have a great on-ramp into ministry life. Let's talk then at the master's level. Mm-hmm. Both MA and MDiv have programmatically seen significant changes.
That's right.
Talk first about the MA, and then let's talk about the online MDiv.
Right. So on the MA, one of the things that's interesting about MA is that We are a first professional school. And what that means is that this school is one that has an additional layer of accreditation, which essentially means that, like someone that goes to be a doctor or a lawyer, those are professional schools. And because lots of times they don't go on to, let's say, a research doctor like a PhD, they have a doctor of jurisprudence or a medical doctor. Well, seminary is like that, only they usually call them masters. But what happens is our masters typically have been much longer than other masters. People go to regular school and go, well, I got a 32-hour degree. And then they get to our advanced degrees and they're like, wait, this is only a Master of Arts and it's still like 60 hours or this or that, you know. So what we've done is we have developed a shorter master's and an intermediate Master's of Arts. So now if a person wants baseline master's for, you know, for first of all, getting in and getting it done, but also maybe the kind of ministry they're leading, maybe they don't have to exegete, you know, Greek on a regular basis to three-year-olds, you know what I'm saying? So we have a short MA that's a 36-unit MA, and then we have a longer one that's a 48-unit. And that one is sort of based on the what I'll call the body of a or the chassis of an MDiv. So it has all the robust nature of a divinity degree, only it doesn't have the languages and some of the, you know, the exegesis. So the great thing about that is you've got two really interesting choices, but they also have amazing delivery systems that we may talk about. But they are very exciting. And then we also have tons of specializations.
Talk about the specializations. I think that's some of those changes are really interesting as well.
Yeah, so we have specializations that include we're one of the only schools in the nation that have a specialization in technology. And how does that apply to ministry? And you know, there's a lot of
In here beforehand geeking out on all the equipment. Love the technology. Oh, the microphones. You it's love the stuff. Technology part. But that's a big part of ministry now.
It's a way to reach the world, right? You know, you can sit in a mom's basement and literally have the same effective power as a NBC or CBS or something. You know, it's crazy. But yeah, to be able to expand your ministry through the use of technology is a great gift of God. But so we have a master's in with a technology emphasis. We have masters. We have a new one coming out this fall that's going to be in spiritual formation coming out or the spring and discipleship. That's going to be tremendous. You know, we have those in management and leadership. One of the great things about that is there's a lot of schools that are saying, hey, we need to get into the leadership thing. Well, we also need to get into the management thing because administration is something that a lot of people have in their positions, but they don't have training for. So we're glad to have that. And, of course, we also have the things you might expect, women's ministry and, you know, Bible, theology, biblical studies, you know, theology. So, and missions and so on. Yeah. So all those, the full slate of traditional programming, but also some very, very front end, you know, forward leaning kinds of content.
And the fastest growth in the last 5 years has been in the online MA space for that's Grace true. Seminary as a whole, correct?
Yes, that's true. Those kinds of delivery methods in general. So one of those pieces is our master's from the, quote, deploy program, which is competency-based, which has an online element to it.
Yeah.
So that's grown, obviously. And then, online has grown substantially. In fact, because partly of COVID, so it's not like everyone's just sort of emptying out, per se, but lots of schools, even schools in major mega cities, have told me, one recently I remember, they said, we are to a point now where we're 30% on campus and 70% online. And we hover in that 65 to 70% because of some of that. Mm-hmm. And because of what you said, the field of ministry needs leaders. And honestly, a lot of them pull our students sometimes before they're ready to go. And they end up finishing out in an online program. But then there's, of course, others that are online. So you're right that we have just an incredible array of opportunities for learning that are online. And it is, in fact, it's not an overstatement, but we are the only seminary in the United States, which means sort of anywhere, but that has online, on campus, on site through the deploy program, competency based programs and academics. And for that reason, that's part of the key to part of our growth.
You know, there's so many churches now who are finding congregates within who have been serving, you know, mm-hmm. maybe as deacons or as lay elders, and mm-hmm. and they identify someone who is gifted for ministry, but that wasn't where their training is. Mm-hmm. But they have the DNA of the church, and they sort of pull them in, and now mm-hmm. this is a great option to say, hey, alongside of your new profession, mm-hmm. working in a church context, come earn a master's of sure. arts degree, you know, through Grace Seminary, or mm-hmm. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the new MDiv that just rolled out.
Right, that's exciting too, yeah. Both of these, previously unavailable to people all over, are now just offered, you know, right there where people can take them. So we now, in addition to those programs that are online completely or online in a sense of being on site that people can take, we also have a full slate of divinity degrees, which is sort of like the standard degree that lots of people think when they think about the seminary, which would have all of the Bible, all the theology, all the history, all the
Greek, Hebrew,
Greek,
all the,
Hebrew, yes. Yeah, exactly, all those things, exegesis and preaching and homiletics and all the rest. But our online, it's a lot of people talk about online programs. A lot of people don't have fully online programs, though. It's surprising that probably less than a quarter, maybe one-fifth of the schools in the Association of Theological Schools, which is one of our primary accrediting bodies, one-fourth to one-fifth don't have a fully online. They call it online, but it's not fully online.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say, look, I can't vacate and leave 2 or 3 weeks, you know, my job, my life, you know. So, yeah, we have a Master of Divinity in that. And what's interesting is some of the programs that are out there, they have traditionally, it's hard for people to sometimes to believe, those Master of Divinity degrees have frequently been 96 hours, 93 hours, 90 hours. ATS, Association of Theological Schools, said, you know, things have changed in churches. Like, for example, and we don't like this, but it's true, the level of biblical knowledge has dropped in lots of churches. So some of the things that we have taught students to get them on the field a lot of times has been, you know, heavy duty. But as times have changed, a lot of times people say, you know, to get out there, you know, do we need as much? So one of the things that's interesting is we found a way to not dump out anything important that we couldn't leave behind. What we found, though, was that about 90% of our students had already had quite a lot of ministry experience. They're doing internships already. Not for credit. They're just doing internships. And we said, you know what? We have 9 hours of internships. If we can cut that back and pull this in a little bit, we made just a few adjustments, and we're able to cut down our divinity degree to 75 units, especially for those who come in with a little bit of language. If not, then it's still 81. But 75 units for a divinity degree is great, because if you think about it, 75 versus 90 or 95.
That's a year.
That's,
or two.
Yeah, it's probably 2 years, right? You know, so yeah, so that, and a year is both time and also it's a substantial amount of money.
Sure.
You know, so to be able to offer these, I mean, our faculty has been just so amazing about their willingness and interest. They want to get God's word and training to these people. So it's been great. You know,
that's the beauty now. Grace Seminary has such a great legacy and mm-hmm. history. Mm-hmm. And the commitment to biblical fidelity has not changed at all. But the delivery is different. Mm-hmm. The quality of content is even higher quality through the use of technology, and every option is available,
that's right.
Depending on where you're at in your stage of life and ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's even true at the doctorate level, wow. which, you know, many who have been senior leaders in their church context for maybe years, decades, mm-hmm. Are now seeing the value of a professional degree, a doctorate of ministry, yeah. And you've really revamped that curriculum as well to make it conducive for, you know, maybe a senior pastor or mm-hmm. a missionary who's been on the field a long time or a right. nonprofit leader who's been in their context. Talk a little bit about, mm-hmm. you know, what you've done with the DMN mm-hmm. and the growth you've seen there.
Yeah. Well, it's really nothing short of amazing. I mean, we now have, what some have said maybe our largest number of doctoral students ever. It's blowing, you know, just blowing and going right now. The doctorate ministry is one of the most exciting things happening in the seminary. So it's great because we have developed a program. First of all, the specializations are fantastic,
and they are
things such as we have a newly rolling out exemplary expository preaching, and it is going to be backed partially by a little bit of resources we recently received that you may have heard about that is going to help supplement amazing things we're doing there. So exemplary preaching. We have one that's rolling out right now, which is phenomenal, on emerging technologies and how that interacts to ethics and Christian ministry that I could get into. But it's everything that you can think of in the world that's new and that you don't know and understand yet, it's in that degree.
Right.
And then we have one rolling out. This is incredible at the doctoral level, if you can imagine, on spiritual formation and soul care, because we are in such a complexity of people's lives being broken, and a lot of people know they need more help in that area. So we're very excited about that. We also have one that's going super well on leadership, and it is just real brass tacks how to get it done in ministry, and people have absolutely loved it. We have a diversified program where people that want to sort of build their own degree with different things can do that, which is really incredible. So we have those and more. I mean, but these are exciting ones. And then we also have the intercultural studies degree. And as a result, people that want to do ministry, and we're also adding a brand new missions prof this year, which is going to be super exciting. And so what's great in addition on the delivery side is a lot of our students that were international, like we have a Korean program in the Korean language that people can take, and Doctor of Ministry or Doctor of Intercultural Studies. A lot of the people that have studied internationally or missionaries or Korean speaking have said, look, I'm having a hard time getting into the country, you know, or the cost of it. Look, don't forget I'm a missionary on a missionary salary, whatever that means, right? So we've made those programs, those kind, completely online. And we found that is saving from $6,000 to probably $10,000 per student, which is real money. In addition to that, we have made the other ones hybrid. So what's awesome is that the core courses that they take are done online, but then the specialization courses, and these are the ones that are on fire, and they want to be in the classroom with the latest and greatest experts that we're bringing in. Sometimes they're in-house, but we have these amazing leaders, and they're like, no, I want to know this person. I want to meet this person. So instead of coming here, if you can imagine, away from your family 9 days a year, twice a year, for 2 years, plus dissertation, we just say, look, 4 nights. That's a lot more easy. 4 nights twice a year, and then they can knock out those courseworks, you know, for the program in just a couple of years and into the dissertation. It's very, very reasonable. But we also have fully online programs, even in English. So mm-hmm. We said, look, we believe in what we're doing. We believe that we have unbelievable curriculum. I mean, if we could really go deep on it, it is the most dynamic, some of the most dynamic content in doctoral delivery that I've ever seen. One I didn't mention was hybrid church, which is how do you do multi-site? How do you do digital ministry in this world? So we have all these things. But the problem is if you can't get it to the people, you know? So that's why we've worked so hard on our delivery methods. That way there's just no excuse. People are like, yes, I can get what I need at Grace, and I can also get it in the delivery method and the cost that I need.
So, you know, our encouragement to anyone listening is if you have a high schooler who's thinking about ministry, if you have, you know, a pastor who's wondering, hey, is it time to level up with an MA or an MDiv? If you have a more seasoned pastor or individual in your church who's like, you know, I'd love to see that doctorate of ministry. I mean, it's all available, and you are going to get the latest, greatest content from a Christ-centered biblical perspective without at all compromising quality. And I think that's what you're going to see in Grace Seminary now. And what you have is some other really neat things going on, sort of tangentially, they certainly play into, but thanks to the generosity of Lilly Endowment, been able to receive a number of grants to spin up some centers. You talked about one more recent grant we received, and a preaching grant about how we can, in our curriculum and even outside of our curriculum, display exemplary preaching. Talk about a few of the other, you know, side opportunities there are to engage with Grace Seminary.
We just know that today, we, in the age of lifelong learning, people are living longer. I mean, for example, a lot of people may not realize this about seminary or about higher education, but statistics are now, these are recent statistics, that the people most likely to go to seminary right now are in their 40s and 50s. Before even their 30s. And we have two students right now in the doctoral program that are in their 70s. So the thing is that it's hard for people right now to say they're, you know, that they couldn't go. I mean, it's all about lifelong learning. And one of the things we realized was that in addition to offering degree programs, which a lot of times people say, yeah, I've gone to seminary in that kind of way. I've gone to seminary. We said, look, we're not only a degree-granting institution. We're a learning organization, and we provide learning resources at every level for every person, regardless of where they are, lay or ordained minister. So we've, as a result, ramped those things up dramatically, and part of that has been by the generosity of several groups. We have solicited grants, and this wasn't something I did a lot of before. But I came here and there was opportunities. You shared the first one with me. And we have submitted now for 24 grants, I believe, and we've gotten 19 of the 24 grants that we've requested, which
praise the Lord.
Yeah, it's and three of them have been, as you know, major grants, as in $1 million or more. The most recent, it was interesting. I found that it was signed on my birthday, which was not bad, you know.
And then we made got that chocolate cake taste just a little bit better, didn't
it? Right? And then the next day was when we got notified. So it was like, yeah, this is great. So we'd prayed about it for so long. We worked so hard. A lot of people don't realize that a major grant like that may take 500 hours of writing from our team, you know, total. So because of those, though, three major grants in the last 4 years, that has infused resources to do very interesting things. And those are not things that all will just go away. We're working to make them things that can recur and be self-funding. But they include the Center for Thriving Leaders, which is working to develop ways to enhance leadership and ministry and care given to the caretakers, the shepherds themselves. And so that does so many things. And then the most recent one is on proclamation. And so that is a $1.25 million grant on things that will enhance preaching. So those would include, definitely things like one of the things I've not mentioned, but and it is academic, but I'll just say and then mention the others. But one of the things we'll be doing with that proclamation grant that we've not even announced, which I guess might be being announced right now, is that is going to be actually done once we get it fully rolled up in on location. So people will take those specialization courses, not the Winona Lake campus, but on location, both in places of great pastoral and preaching influence in the United States. So imagine places where God changed the world. Like that might be, for example, the area of the First Great Awakening or the Second Great Awakening or some famous revival. So we'll do some of that. But also internationally, we're preaching Shake the Earth. And so we'll be going on site, on location to these places, being equipped at the highest level by these kinds of amazing, exemplary preachers, and then help support some of the cost of that to the student through these grants.
That's
going to be amazing. But in addition to that, we're offering micro-learning courses, and we're developing those. We're really getting into that now. And those will be on-demand training, non-educational, meaning not the cost and price point of a degree.
Not credit-bearing.
And yeah. Not credit-bearing, but credentialed.
Right.
So they will have the credentialing of a fully accredited institution, but without the cost, but done by people with just tremendous credentials themselves. And so we're going to be doing that with some very interesting technology that is designed to help, like maybe churches and that may need, you know, children's workers or people to work in a nursery and they're really concerned about the safety and security of the children, or they are wanting people to work with small groups, or they're wanting people to help with the students. We have ways to protect people that have been trained by using certain technology and blockchain to make sure that those are people that are understood as authorized, have completed this, and we can even withdraw the authorization if there's a problem with someone. So we have things like that built in, but far beyond that, there'll be also ones on preaching and every possible area you could ever imagine with preaching and communication skills and that kind of thing. And also, one of the really exciting things right now that's happening is that we have just completed building the entire ordination process. Like if someone says, look, I got a person wanting to go into ministry, we have now an entire ordination process on demand through an online class that it works with them together to shepherd them through the entire process of being ready for ministry. So if you can, anything you can imagine in the areas is sort of what we're trying to produce.
It is exciting to think what has transpired in 5 years.
That's right.
And what the Lord has done and the people he's brought together and the impact that it's made. And so fun to hear of those who've come through the program and are now living out ministry life and making an impact in others. And that's what it's all about, disciple making, to know Christ and to make him known. Yep. And, you know, who knows what the next 5 years will bring and what excitement we'll be talking about, you know, next time you're on the maybe you'll come in before 5 years from
that
now.
That makes me need a nap. Okay,
yeah, so. Yeah, no joke. To think about the next 5 years of ministry impact. But thank you so much for your leadership. Thank you. The impact that you've had on our campus and are making, you know, throughout the world through your students.
Thank you. God bless you. Thanks.
And thanks to all of you for listening to the Grace Story podcast today. Thanks to Avery and Rick for their work producing the podcast. We would love for you to share this, especially with those who may have interest in ministry and might be interested in learning more. They can, of course, visit us at Grace Seminary. Just Google it. You'll find us and all of these various programs that we have available. If you have questions or comments, feel free to shoot those to podcast@grace.edu. And until next time, live your best Grace story today.